Have you seen any soldiers?
No.
No. Any of the temple authorities around here? Any of the temple authorities? Have you seen anybody? I'm so sorry, Lord. I failed you. I failed you. I'm so sorry.
Peter!
John, what are you doing here?
Where have you been? I've been looking for you for 2 days now.
I denied him, John. Not just once, 3 times. 3 times I denied him. He said I was going to deny him. I didn't believe him. There was no way I was going to deny him. But it's exactly like he said. That's what I did.
Listen, Peter, I know this is tough. His death was a lot to take in. But it's okay. It's not your
okay.
fault.
It's not okay, John. I was the one proclaiming that I was ready to go to prison with him. I was the one that said I was ready to lay my life down for him. And when that moment came, what did I do? I ran like a little coward. What is this?
That's the crown of thorns which the soldiers used to mock Jesus as our king.
Crown of thorns, huh?
Peter.
I thought he was going to be our king. I really did.
Peter, come on. It's getting late. Everyone's in the upper room. They'll all be glad to see you.
John, after what I did, I can't face them right now.
Peter, it's just us, your friends, your family. Come back with me.
Okay. Okay, John.
Let's go.
Soldiers are everywhere.
It's been a long day.
Fellows, soldiers are everywhere. Guard the door. I'll get this one. John.
Everyone, I found Peter.
You found Peter.
Peter.
Good, you guys
Peter.
Are safe. Peter.
Thomas.
Were you guys followed?
I don't think so. Andrew, Thaddeus, how you doing?
Peter.
And Nathaniel.
Peter, Jesus is dead. Soldiers everywhere. What do we do?
What do we do, Thomas? Why are you asking me that?
You're a leader.
Thomas, I have no idea what we're supposed to do right now. None. It's over. It's just over.
No, it isn't over, Peter.
John, you're the youngest among us. What do you know that the rest of us don't?
Well, I may be the youngest one here, but I've been doing some serious thinking in the last 2 days.
Oh, really?
And I've been remembering some things that Jesus taught us that, at the time, didn't mean anything to us. Now I'm beginning to understand them.
Understand what things, John? What do you remember?
Well, I remember what John the Baptist first told me about Jesus.
That is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world.
John called Jesus the perfect Lamb of God, who takes away the sins of the world. The Lamb of God, like the Passover lambs and the lambs sacrificed in the temple, all those lambs, they had to die for our sin. Jesus was the perfect Lamb. I'm beginning to believe that he had to die for us, for our sins. But he didn't die for just ours. He was the Lamb that takes away the sins of the whole world.
So you're quoting John the Baptist. He was that weird guy out in the wilderness, crazy hair. He ate bugs.
You doubt what he said about Jesus?
Well, yeah, I think.
Hey, guys, little brother. I don't know what John meant when he said that about Jesus. But I can't believe that he meant he was going to be killed.
Well, I think that's exactly what John meant. Remember what Jesus told Nicodemus that one night?
Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher sent by God. No one could perform the miracles you are doing unless God were with him.
I am telling you the truth. No one can see the kingdom of God without being born again.
How can a grown man be born again? He certainly cannot enter his mother's womb and be born a second time.
I am telling you the truth. No one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of water and the Spirit. A person is born physically of human parents, but is born spiritually of the Spirit.
Do not be surprised because I tell you that you must all be born again. The wind blows wherever it wishes. You hear the sound it makes, but you do not know where it comes from or where it is going. It is like that with everyone who is born of the Spirit. How can this be? You are a great teacher in Israel, and you don't know this. I am telling you the truth. We speak of what we know and report what we have seen. Yet none of you is willing to accept our message. You do not believe me when I tell you about the things of this world. How will you ever believe me then when I tell you about the things of heaven? And no one has ever gone up to heaven except the Son of Man, who came down from heaven. As Moses lifted up the bronze snake on a pole in the desert, in the same way the Son of Man must be lifted up, so that everyone who believes in him may have eternal life.
Jesus told Nicodemus that he would be raised up, just as Moses raised up the bronze serpent in the wilderness. That bronze serpent represented the people's sin. Jesus is the perfect Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. The bronze serpent, the Lamb of God, Jesus being raised up on the cross, it's all beginning to make sense now.
That's right. That makes complete sense.
Really, Mary? Complete sense? Jesus is dead. He's in a tomb across town. How does that make any sense?
Peter, John is making sense. Do you remember what Jesus taught us that one day in the synagogue? You guys remember all that, right? That day everyone got so upset.
Hey, People cannot come to me unless the Father who sent me draws them to me. And I will raise them to life on the last day. The prophets wrote, everyone will be taught by God. Anyone who hears the Father and learns from him comes to me. This does not mean that anyone has seen the Father. He who is from God is the only one who has seen the Father. I am telling you the truth. He who believes has eternal life. I am the bread of life. Your ancestors ate manna in the desert, but they died. Bread that comes down from heaven is of such a kind that whoever eats it will not die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. If you eat this bread, you will live forever. The bread that I will give you is my flesh, which I give so that the world may live.
This started an angry argument among them.
How can this man give us his flesh to eat? I am telling you the truth. If you do not eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you will not have life in yourselves. Those who eat my flesh and drink my blood have eternal life. And I will raise them to life on the last day. For my flesh is the real food, my blood is the real drink. Those who eat my flesh and drink my blood live in me, and I live in them. The living Father sent me, and because of him I live also. In the same way, whoever eats me will live because of me. This, then, is the bread that came down from heaven. It is not like the bread that your ancestors ate but then later died. Those who eat this bread will live forever.
Heard him. He looked right at me. It was a hard teaching, and I didn't understand it at the time, but maybe he was trying to tell us something. Maybe he was saying that he was going to die for us, and that through the death of his flesh, the spilling of his blood, it's what he called the bread and the wine at our Last Supper with him. And it's exactly what I saw on that cross 2 days ago. And I think that if we put our trust in his sacrifice on our behalf, we can have all our sins forgiven by his death.
Larry, he's dead. How is his death going to forgive our sins?
Shh, soldier.
Shh.
Peter, I know he's dead, but what if?
What? What if what?
What if he comes back from the dead?
Oh, John. Yes, we saw Jesus raise Lazarus from the dead. We were there. It was real. We saw it. But Jesus was alive to do that. It's kind of hard for a dead man to raise a dead man, don't you think?
That's right. I agree with Peter.
Oh, great.
Thomas, if you keep this attitude up, you'll forever be known as Doubting Thomas.
I doubt that.
Ignore Thomas. Listen, do you guys remember what Jesus taught us about being the good shepherd?
I am telling you the truth. I am the gate for the sheep. All others who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the gate. Those who come in by me will be saved.
They will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only in order to steal, kill, and destroy. I have come in order that you might have life. Life in all its fullness. I am the good shepherd who is willing to die for the sheep. When the hired man, who is not a shepherd and does not own the sheep, sees a wolf coming, he leaves the sheep and runs away. So the wolf snatches the sheep and scatters them. The hired man runs away because he is only a hired man and does not care about the sheep. I am the good shepherd. As the Father knows me, and I know the Father, in the same way I know my sheep, and they know me. And I am willing to die for them. There are other sheep which belong to me that are not in this sheep pen. I must bring them too. They will listen to my voice, and they will become one flock with one shepherd. The Father loves me because I am willing to give up my life in order that I may receive it back again. No one takes my life away from me. I give it up of my own free will. I have the right to give it up, and I have the right to take it back. This is what my Father has commanded me to do.
That's when he said he would lay down his life for us, but he would receive it back again. He would take it back up.
That's right. You know, that reminds me of what the prophet Isaiah wrote about.
What did Isaiah write about, Matthew?
Well, where's that scroll? He wrote, "But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him. And by his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all." That's exactly what happened 2 days ago. You have to remember that time when Jesus asked us who we thought he was. And you said yourself, you called him the Christ, the Son of the living God. That's when he told us how he had to go to Jerusalem, suffer many things from the elders and chief priests, and be killed, that he would be raised back again on the third day. We didn't understand it then, but now it makes sense. Remember, Peter?
I remember that. He pulled you aside. What'd you tell him?
Well, actually, I pulled him to the side, and I told him, no, that these things would not happen to him.
That's right. And then what did he tell you?
Thomas. He looked at me and said, "Get behind me, Satan."
That's right. That was so funny.
Do you believe
Thomas,
this guy?
You're not helping.
That's for sure.
Say so.
Remember what Matthew was right. Remember what Jesus told us just a few hours before Judas betrayed him?
I said, "In a little while you will not see me. And then a little while later you will see me. Is this what you were asking about among yourselves? I am telling you the truth. You will cry and weep, but the world will be glad. You will be sad, but your sadness will turn into gladness. When a woman is about to give birth, she is sad because an hour of suffering has come. But when the baby is born, she forgets her suffering, because she is happy that a baby has been born into the world. That is how it is with you. Now you are sad. But I will see you again. And your hearts will be filled with gladness, the kind of gladness that no one can take away from you."
Gladness that nobody can take away? He was telling us this whole time. On the third day. That's tomorrow.
Tomorrow.
Oh my gosh, tomorrow.
Are you sure?
Oh, just stop it. Stop, John. I don't know where you're trying to find this hope. But he's dead. And I don't have any hope. I don't see any hope. You know all I see? Do you know all I have left? My last words before he died were words of betrayal, denial. That's all I got left, man. That's all I got left. I'm sorry. I'm sorry, guys. I'm so tired. I'm just so tired. I think we should call it a night.
I agree with Peter. But soldiers are everywhere. Temple Guard, they're out for our blood.
Just let me go check. Looks okay right now. Listen, just split up, go different directions home. Be careful, be safe. We'll meet back here tomorrow.
Gates and doors were barred, and all the windows fastened down. I spent the night in sleeplessness and rose at every sound, half in hopeless sorrow and half in fear the day would find the soldiers breaking through to drag us all away. And just before the sunrise, I heard something at the wall. The gate began to rattle, and the voice began to call. Hurried to the window, looked down into the street, expecting swords and torches, and the sound of soldiers' feet. There was no one there but Mary, so I went down to let her in. And John stood there beside me, as she told us where she'd been. She said they've moved him in the night, and none of us knows where. The stone's been rolled away, and now his body isn't there. We both ran toward the garden, then John ran on ahead. We found the stone in the empty tomb, just the way that Mary said. But the winding sheet they wrapped him in was just an empty shell. taken him was more than I could tell. Well, something strange had happened there, but just what, I did not know. John believed a miracle, but I just turned to go. Circumstance and speculation couldn't lift me very high, 'cause I'd seen them crucify him, and then I saw him die. Back inside the house again, the guilt and anguish came. Everything I'd promised him just added to my shame. When at last it came to choices, I denied I knew his name. And even if he was alive, it wouldn't be the same. But suddenly the air was filled with strange and sweet perfume. Light that came from everywhere drove shadows from the room. Jesus stood before me with his arms held open wide, and I fell down on my knees and just clung to him and cried. He raised me to my feet, and as I looked into his eyes, love was shining out from him like sunlight from the skies. Guilt in my confusion disappeared in sweet release. And every fear I'd ever had just melted into peace.
Join us in singing the Hallelujah chorus to our risen Lord and Savior. Hit it.
Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah.
You know, shortly after the resurrection, some people started to say that we had made up the whole thing, that we had conspired and lied about the resurrection. Well, to be totally honest with you, you might find one or maybe two fools that would die for a lie, but not much more than that. And you know what, folks? I am no fool. And no one on this stage with me, none of these men, none of these women, are a fool. My name is Peter. Killed 64 AD. Crucified upside down for my testimony of Jesus Christ.
My name is Nathaniel, killed 70 AD, crucified for my testimony of Jesus Christ.
My name is Thaddeus, killed AD 72, beaten to death for my testimony of my Lord Jesus Christ.
My name is James, son of Altisa. I died in 63 AD, beaten to death for my testimony of Jesus Christ.
My name is Andrew, killed in 77 AD, hanged for my testimony of Jesus Christ.
My name is Simon. I was killed in 74 AD. I was crucified for my testimony of Jesus Christ.
My name is James. I'm son of Zebedee, killed 45 AD, slain by the sword for my testimony on my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
My name is Matthew, killed 65 AD, beheaded for my testimony of Jesus Christ.
My name is Philip, killed 54 AD, crucified for my testimony of Jesus Christ.
I am Thomas, and I was killed in 70 AD. I was burned alive for my testimony of Jesus Christ.
I am John, died 95 AD, imprisoned on the island of Patmos for my testimony of Jesus Christ.
No fools here. But all killed. Because it was true what they saw. They saw, they talked with, they touched, they ate with the resurrected Jesus Christ. Now I'm going to come out of character because what I need to share with you is not some story from just a long time ago. What I'm about to share with you is based on the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And it is so relevant today. The meaning, the impact. You see, today the Lord wants to do two things here this morning. The first, bring up 1 John 1 says this, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us, purify us from all unrighteousness. You see, the truth about the gospel of Jesus Christ, it doesn't matter what you've done or how much you've done. The blood of Christ can cover all. There's only one sin that is unforgivable, and that is to reject the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's the only way to be forgiven. You reject it, you cannot be forgiven. It doesn't matter what you've done. And this group this size, there's probably been some pretty bad girls and boys in here. One stands before you now. He can forgive all, and he wants to forgive all. Everything. Then he wants to go past just forgiveness, and he wants to do the next thing. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, he said, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. You see, these lives we live in, this world we live in, there's lots of sin, there's lots of hurt, lots of pain. Sometimes we cause it ourselves, not only to ourselves, but to others. Or sometimes somebody else's sin brings a lot of pain into your life. Jesus made an incredible statement here. You're the only one in human history ever to make this statement. I've come to heal the brokenhearted. I've come to heal the pain that is so severe in your life you feel like your heart is breaking. Some of you know exactly what I'm talking about. Jesus can heal that. He can forgive all sins and he can heal the pain. But for him to do that, you must understand this. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That word believe, though, is a tricky word. A lot of people say they believe in God. I did for 28 years of my life. I grew up in a Christian home, went to youth group. I learned to talk the talk, church talk anyway. I learned some other talking too, but not in church. And I always said I believed in Jesus Christ. I was a Christian. Left home. As soon as I was out from underneath my mom and dad's Christian influence, I remained a believer in words, but I stopped going to church. I had no desire to go to church. I had never had a desire to go to church. Never read my Bible. I never read the Bible ever. Had no desire for that. Had no desire to pray to God unless I was in desperate trouble. And I definitely did not want to take part in serving him or obeying him. For 28 years, I was like that. I believed, but my belief was what the Bible calls dead belief, dead faith. You see, when we truly believe what this word really means in the original language, it's a belief that is so strong, it penetrates into the very core of who you are, down into the moral compass that we all have. It develops, it creates in us a faith that is so strong that we desire to turn from our old lives and we turn to Jesus Christ for a new life. We desire to follow him. We desire to know him. All of a sudden, these desires, godly desires, biblical desires that God points out in the Word, show up in your life. You know, when I finally confessed Jesus Christ at age 28, all of a sudden, I had a desire to read the Bible. Where did that come from? The Spirit of God comes into you when you repent of your sins and you turn to Christ. All of a sudden, I wanted to go to church. I hated church people up until that point. I used to drive by churches on Sunday morning looking at the people going into church, and I was driving somewhere to do something bad. And I looked at them and go, well, what a bunch of hypocrites they are. I'm a real believer. Folks, I am so serious about this last statement. I love people too much, and I love God too much, and I love people too much to sugarcoat it, beat around the bush. If your belief, what you claim as belief, does not create in you a desire to read the Word, the Bible says we will desire the Word as a newborn babe desires the milk. If your belief in Jesus Christ does not want you to be not about just attending church and being religious, no, but being the church and being part of the church, being with your fellow brothers and sisters in Christ. If your belief doesn't cause that in you, if your belief doesn't cause you to want to turn from sin in your life and seek Christ and obey, Jesus said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. If your belief in Jesus Christ this morning does not cause your life to change, if your belief in Jesus Christ, and please don't get offended with this, but take it in the spirit and the love it's meant. If your belief in Jesus Christ only brings you to church two times a year, Easter and Christmas, then your belief, your faith, is what the Bible calls dead. Dead faith. James chapter 2. It can't save you because it's just up here. It hasn't penetrated the heart of who you really are. The resurrection is a glorious event for us. It proves Jesus was who he said he was. It proves his sacrifice was perfect for our sins. But the resurrection also means something else. In the book of Acts, truly these times of ignorance God overlooked, but now commands all men everywhere, all men, all women everywhere to repent, because he has appointed a day which he will judge the world in righteousness by the man whom he has ordained. He has given assurance of this to all by raising him from the dead. You see, that empty tomb proves the gospel of Jesus Christ. You can turn to him. He can forgive all your sins. He can put his righteousness upon you, even though you don't deserve it. He did that for me so many years ago, and I was a wretched man. But that empty tomb also means something else. It means a guarantee that God is going to judge the world one day. And God is patient, wanting none to perish in that judgment, but come to repentance. Jesus said, repent and believe the gospels. The angels rejoice over one sinner who repents. Jesus says, I did not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. If you believe in Jesus, if you believe he went to the cross, and he died in your place for your sins, the justice of God satisfied on the cross, then you must desire to turn from your sins, turn from your self-righteousness, turn from your false religion, turn from your false, easy belief, and humble yourself before God and call out on the name, the only name given to us that we might be saved, the name of Jesus Christ. Whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. With the heart, one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. There must be a moment when you are born again. As Jesus talked with Nicodemus, you must have this moment with God, you and God, with the mediator, Jesus Christ. And through Jesus Christ, you can have peace with God, all your sins forgiven, your name written in the Lamb's book of life, and the righteousness of Christ put upon you. You're born again. You're a new creation in Christ. This must happen. It's not about church attendance, church membership. It's not about trying to be good. It's about being saved by the grace of God. And by his grace, he loved us enough to come down and live among us and show us the way. Then go to a cross. And he who knew no sin became sin for us. And he died in our place. The perfect Lamb of God. And he was put into a tomb. But because he was the God-man, Emmanuel, God with us, and he had never, ever sinned, that he defeated sin and he defeated death on that Easter morning. And once and for all, proving the gospel of Jesus Christ is the only way. Jesus said it himself, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes unto the Father but through me. This morning, I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand. I'm not going to ask you to stand. I'm not going to ask you to come forward. But what I am going to ask you, because it is so important, it's the most important thing you'll ever do. And I'm not overemphasizing that because I'm a pastor, I'm a religious type. This is the most important thing you'll ever do, because once we're all going to die one day. I hate to say that, but the Bible's clear on that too. Man, women are appointed to die once, then the judgment. And God loves you. He doesn't want to sit around judging you. God takes no pleasure in the death of the wicked. So right now, you judge your heart. Apostle Paul wrote to the Corinthians church to test yourself, to see if you're really in the faith, to see if Jesus Christ is really in you, unless, of course, you fail the test because Christ is not in you. Your belief is a dead belief. It's just in your mind. It's never changed who you are. I'm an expert on this. I did it for 28 years. It was up here. It was never here. Be honest with yourself before God. He's big enough to hear every heart in this place right now. I'm going to give you an opportunity all by yourself between you and God in your heart. Is it right before God? Are you truly a believer? From the top of the balcony up there down to this front row, are you really a believer? Has your faith, your belief changed you and created those godly desires the Bible says you will have if Jesus is in your life? If those desires are not there, the Bible is clear, Jesus is not there. And you must repent of your sins. Right now, just ask everyone to bow their head. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand. I'm not going to ask you to... I'm just going to give you a moment. If you know you need Christ, call out to Him right now in your heart. There's no fancy prayer. But if you're ready to turn from your sin, if you're ready to be saved and be forgiven everything you've ever done, and allow the peacemaker to come in and start to bring the healing for the broken heart, turn to Him right now and call out to that name, the only name given to us. Do it. Dear Heavenly Father, I pray at least someone, maybe multiple people, just called out to You in faith. Lord, I pray, we've been praying for that for weeks now. Lord, we don't want anything from these people. I'm not here to get them to attend my church or to donate to my church. Lord, I just want them to know You. I want to see You save them if they're not already saved. Lord, I ask You bless those that have called out to You. I ask You to pour Your Spirit into them. Let them feel the cleansing on their soul and on their heart, the beginning of their mind being renewed. Lord, I just pray as the blood of Christ symbolically washes over them, and now they become as white as snow in Your eyes. Lord, we praise You and we thank You for Your grace and Your mercy, Your love that You show us. Lord, for those that are already believers, Lord, let it be this day be a day of renewal of what You did for us so many years ago. That we never forget the shadow of that cross. That it was our sin that put You there. But also, Lord, let us remember the light of the empty tomb. That we serve a risen Lord. And let us be about Your business and not our own. And if there's someone in here who totally rejected everything I said, you don't believe me, Lord, I ask You to show them that what I shared with them was not my opinion. It was solid Word of God verses and truths. Show them, Lord, that if they have easy belief, one terrible day, they will come before You saying, Lord, Lord, have we not done this, this, and this in Your name? And You will say, depart from me, I never knew You. Lord, if there's someone in here that's so stubborn, and that is them, I ask You to reveal that to them. Reveal it to their heart. And now, Lord, I just pray that You protect all these that came this morning. Bless them for coming. Bless the children that are back there ready to go look for eggs. Thank You for the sweet fellowship we have with each other as brothers and sisters in Christ. Lord, we praise You and we thank You so much for Your sacrifice, for Your death, Your burial, and Your resurrection. We pray this in the name of above every name, the King of Kings, Lord of Lords, in the name of Jesus Christ. And all God's people said, Amen. Thank you for coming this morning. I'm going to have the ushers open the doors and turn the lights on. Thank you. Yes. Everybody's welcome to go back to the gym, whether you have kids or not, just to see and watch the kids. But God bless you. Have a wonderful day. If there's anything we can ever do, please let us know. God bless.